I was just thinking about Thanksgiving and about the things surrounding just not only the holiday of Thanksgiving, but the whole idea of Thanksgiving. And just kind of went through some of the Bible and Paul's, what he has taught about Thanksgiving in his 13 books. And give you any surprise things, but we'll just kind of talk about it and hopefully renew some ideas that you might have had about Thanksgiving. Of course, Thanksgiving is throughout the whole Bible, the idea of Thanksgiving and giving thanks to God for what He's done. It's beyond just a human thanks. You know, we casually throw out, oh, thanks, you know, or thank you, and you might be truly appreciative to another human for something they've done, and so it might be deeper than just a little thank you here and there. But Thanksgiving is something that is actually much deeper than that, and it relates to the Thanksgiving almost always relates to God. 1 Corinthians 14, Paul thanks God for spiritual gifts. He thanks God that I spoke in tongues more than all of you. And so in that sense, he was very thankful for what God has done through him. Thanks to God for his salvation and work of sanctification, Romans 6:17 and 7:25. And a number of times, it just comes up time and time again, Paul thanking God for the salvation that was given to him. And so that is one of the foremost things on Paul's mind, is the idea that salvation, rescuing me from where he was. And if you know where Paul was, which was about as low as you can go, seeing that maybe not personally killing, but that those that he was arrested probably got killed, and causing all in the name of God he was doing it, but he was going after believers that were following Christ. But he gave thanks to God, and he always fell on his knees just because he was so thankful for God lifting him from where he was and pulling him up into the position that he gave him. And I think he was overwhelmed with that, basically going from as low as you can go to as high as you can go in human terms, and in being able to be the leader of the body of Christ. What an amazing thing. Paul thanks God for his faithfulness. God is faithful. And Paul recognized that, and his faithfulness came out in many ways. Thanks to God for victory over death. We know that just in our life that we don't have to worry about death, because in death there's actually gain. We're looking forward to death, in a sense. We're not looking forward to dying, perhaps. But I think if we disconnect dying from death, that point of death is really what we're looking forward to, other than the rapture. You know, let's do the rapture thing. But if that's not going to happen, then give me death. And Paul was thankful just for that victory over death. Thanks for others growing in spiritual maturity. Paul often looked at churches and looked at people in those churches and was thankful for God to see them growing in their faith and growing in their understanding of things of the Word. And so he had two sides of Paul did. He was always fighting those who were against what he was doing, but he would always look to those who were growing in faith. Now, those who were growing in faith seemed to be very few compared to those who were against him and causing his ministry to suffer and causing him to suffer also. But Paul would always look to them, it seems, and always look to those who were growing. And he was always so thankful for the Lord, for those who were grabbing onto the Word and growing in the Word. And that was something that was very dear to him. And I feel the same just for this group, a group of like-minded individuals who are just hungry for the Word. It thrills my heart to be able to be a part of this church and to see people who are just want to get into Scripture and want to understand it. And I think we're like-minded in that area. And it's an amazing thing. Paul covered all things. Well, I'm thankful for all things. Well, that covers a lot. And so he's obviously talking about those things that God has blessed him with, or that he sees God working and dealing in his life, and he's thankful for it. But even those things, when he's in prison, he's suffering, he's been whipped, and he's in not the best of areas, he is thankful for those things because God is still in there. And so we don't necessarily have to be thankful that that we have cancer, that somebody died in our family, but we know that God is faithful in those areas, and we can see God working in all those areas. And Paul was very thankful for that, knowing that God was in control of those things that were happening. And so it was easy for him to be thankful because he understood who God was. And he understood what God's plan was, and he had actually been and visited heaven and had seen all these things, and so we should take his cue from this in our thankfulness. He not only went to heaven, but of course Jesus Christ came down to him and talked to him personally. And so he was just thankful for how faithful, how loving, for his salvation, and it didn't matter what circumstances he was in, he was still thankful. And of course, all these things please the Lord. These things that the Lord loves, praise the Lord. And what it does is really, when we praise the Lord, we have the right attitude. And it's the Lord, it's not that God needs our praise or needs to be glorified more than he is, but he thrills to see us acknowledge him as God and raise him up as God. And I think that's really where it comes from. Psalm, of course, is one that's quite famous, quite well known for praising, for glorifying God. And I just picked out one verse here that says, I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. And that's really summarizes what David keeps coming back to, that idea of praise and glorifying God and praising God. And what you're doing when you praise God and thank God is you're acknowledging him as sovereign over you. And so when you're thanking him, you're really praising him and lifting him up. It's that glorification, glorifying God. We glorify God in our praise to God. And it's not that he needs us to praise him or to glorify him or to raise him up, but he desires that. He desires that for us to have a heart of thanksgiving and a heart that is looking at things above, not on things down on this earth. How often is that reversed? How often are we looking at things that are... And it's kind of natural to think that we're surrounded by all the things of the world and all the cares of the world and all the things that are going on at work, the things going on in your personal life, the things that aren't going right. And it's almost natural because our bodies, ourselves, are immersed in a sin-filled world that's filled with trouble. So it's so easy for us to get pulled down when Paul and the Lord desires us to be raised up, to be looking up and ahead and beyond all these things that where we're at. And this whole idea then of giving thanks, when we're giving thanks, what we're really doing is acknowledging that I don't care what is I'm surrounded with, I have this relationship with the Lord. And whatever happens down here on this earth, I'm thankful that the Lord is in and is part of everything in my whole life. And so the interesting thing is that the Lord can be... Our thanks is something that he wants to have. You know, when you think of it in terms of a child, the child comes up to you and thanks you. I mean, that even on that simple basis, truly thanks you for something, that kind of melts your heart. And I think the Lord has that same thing. We have the Father, we have the Son, the Holy Spirit, who are all very active and interactive in their dealings with us, more so than we probably even think about. Being indwelled by the Holy Spirit constantly, he's there, he's helping us, he's bringing us along, nurturing us, helping us, or wanting us to live the life that is positive and a life that is pleasing to the Lord. And just when we break out in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord, that must just it would be hard to, as a parent would be thrilled for their kid to do that, the Lord, I think, is thrilled to see us do that, because it really acknowledges him as God and as the one who is really the all, your whole life is wrapped up in the Lord, when you can praise him like that in all things that are happening. Obviously, it's easy to thank him when things are going right. And I think what really pulls you apart is when things aren't going so right in this world. And it's those things that, it's the thanksgiving that goes out And certainly to thank him, the one thing that always comes to mind, and I thought I'd use as an example, is the 10 lepers. However, it wasn't the one leper that went back to thank him. It wasn't about thanksgiving in that case. This is just a little off to the side. It was about giving him glory. And so if you read the scripture, only one came and gave him glory. Now, glory and thanksgiving are kind of tied closely, but they're a little bit different. But in that case, I really couldn't use that as an example, because it was about giving God glory. But yet what we're doing is giving him glory when we thank him. And we're acknowledging his power and strength and might in our whole lives. And so we really need to focus on things that are above. And that's something that we really need to work on doing. Because naturally, in the natural body, in the natural things that are going on in our lives, we're dragged down into the mire of the earth. Into all the crud that's going on here. We watch what's going on in the world, and we naturally get a little nervous, or what's going to happen? How far are we going to be taken? But yet when we thank the Lord, all of a sudden our sights are raised upward. They're raised up and beyond this, where we're at right now. And so it's something that we do need to set our minds on things above. Colossians 3:1. I'm just going to go there real quickly. Colossians has actually a fair amount to say on thanksgiving. And one of the things surrounding thanksgiving, I believe, is in Colossians 3:1. It says, "Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, your life is hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory." Wow, there's a lot packed into those few verses there. And if that doesn't raise your sights just reading that, then there's something wrong, because there's really, this is what the Christian life is all about. This is something that we have to raise our sights beyond the things that were here, the here and now, and raise it up above. So we talked about a little bit about those who are so heavenly minded that no earthly good. I don't think that's possible. You need to be heavenly minded, because as soon as you're earthly minded, what's going to happen? Do what?
Then you're no heavenly good.
You're no heavenly good. It really works that way. And the Lord is not going to use you when you are earthly minded. And so there's a contrast there. And people pick the wrong side of the contrast. They want to be earthly minded, I guess. And it's when we have the idea of being heavenly minded, when we have this idea that in all things we're just giving the Lord thanks, and you're going through your life and thanking the Lord for things that are going on in your life, that's when you know that you're living your life, probably, it's one of the indications that you're living in step with what the Lord would want you to be. When you just can't help but praise Him, and you're having that continual communication, because we are told to pray without ceasing. Well, what does that mean? That doesn't mean you're on your knees forever, but it does mean that you're in a continual state of communication with the Lord, and a lot of those supplications and prayers that go out are part of that has to be thanksgiving. And Paul makes that clear in a lot of his writings. And so 1 Thessalonians 5:17 just talks about, we won't go there, but talks about that pray without ceasing. Paul just means that our minds are continually with the Lord. We're walking side by side. We're just talking with Him as the day goes by. And with that, we're told to rejoice always. So 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray continually. But before that, it says rejoice always. Well, that rejoicing obviously would include thanksgiving. When you're rejoicing, you're in a state of thanksgiving. You're enjoying what the Lord has done for you. You're just marveling in His grace and in the work that He's done. And we're realizing who we are in Christ. We're taken off this earth and put up into the heavenlies, and that's where our minds should be, where our minds need to be fulfilled in just understanding who God is. And that is really setting our mind on things above. instead of being dragged down to things that are on this earth. Now, when we approach God in a spirit of rejoicing and thanksgiving, we're really setting our minds away from this earth and towards eternal things of heaven. And that's where we're supposed to be, the eternal things, not the temporal things. But yet we're so involved in the temporal that we sometimes lose sight of the eternal. And that's one thing that we need to do, is to really take a look at where we are in terms of our eternal state, the state we're going to be in for the rest of our lives after we pass on or after the rapture. We should be focusing on that instead of this little tiny segment of 70 plus years that we call our life. Yes.
You know, that really comes with age too. You know, the younger you are, the more temporal you are. Yeah. You know, as you age, you become more spiritual.
Your focus does change a lot. So those who are much younger, they've got their whole life laid out before them, and that's all you're thinking about is, what am I going to do? I got to go to school. I got to go to college. I got to go to figure out my life's work. I'm going to get married, have kids, and your life is revolved around this earth. However, as you get older, you start putting those things behind you. Of course, I haven't gotten there yet, but... what? And so as you get older, your whole view starts shifting. You could see that, you know, especially watching my mom die in the last year. She's been dead for just over a year now. But kind of watching that process is that, you know, it's things of the earth kind of fade away and the things of heaven are become more and more in focus. Now, it's too bad it takes that. It takes 60, 70, 80 years to start turning your focus, it seems, more heavenward. But the older you get, the more you realize the earth doesn't hold anything that I want. And it's things that the earth starts fading off, and hopefully the heavenly things start coming more into focus and our whole life. And that was a good point. And all through the Bible, actually, Thanksgiving is closely tied to prayer and to rejoicing. So that's one thing that is, when we're continually communicating with God and we're continually rejoicing in Him and giving Him thanks, we see that there's many examples, but just Hannah's prayer of thanksgiving in 1 Samuel 21, the leader of, actually there was a leader who was selected out in charge of prayer and thanksgiving, which I thought was kind of interesting, in Nehemiah. And so there's actually a person who was in charge of doing that because it's so important. It sounds kind of cold, but I think it was done because it was just so important, as Nehemiah selected this person to take care of these things, that they needed someone to make sure the congregation understood the connection between prayer, thanksgiving, and praise to God. Daniel, what would he do? He'd set in his window and he would praise and thank God very publicly. David, of course, as you go through the Psalms, and there's many Psalms that talk about and connect prayer and thanksgiving. Paul also very often connects prayer and thanksgiving, and in fact I've got we can't go to all these right now, but I've got about 10 verses where he connects prayer with thanksgiving. And so prayer and thanksgiving go hand in hand with Paul. Now, it's also interesting that the Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to give thanks to God. We can't really give thanks to God unless we're truly saved. So any of us who are saved are qualified to give thanks to God, but those who really are not saved are really enemies of God. Now, an enemy of God is not going to be able to thank God. Paul brings that idea out in, well, Romans 5. Paul just says in that Romans 5:10, for if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. But Paul is really just saying, before we were saved, we were enemies. And so we were enemies. Now, an enemy isn't going to give thanks to God. And so truly, to be able to give thanks to God, we have to have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And it's from the Holy Spirit where we can actually communicate with God properly. It's the Holy Spirit who is the intercessor. So when we're praying, how do the prayers get there? According to Romans 8, it's the Holy Spirit who's doing that. Now, someone without the Holy Spirit indwelling them, how can they give thanks to God? How can they give praise to God? How can they communicate with God? Because they don't have that ability to be able to do that. And so only those of us who are truly saved, those who have the indwelling Holy Spirit, are able to really give thanks to God. And we can do that, I think, because the Holy Spirit is also the one who's lifting us up to be able to do that. And so there's, I think, even the Trinity is involved in our prayers. And we have the Trinity involved in our thanksgiving to God. And so we would not be able to do it properly or at all, really, if we're not saved. Steve?
When the Spirit, this isn't the Spirit, makes utterances to God that we don't know how to pray. Is that when we're praying, or is that all the time?
Well, it seems that the inner groanings would happen at any time. And so those things are brought to the Father, it seems. It's not just a time where you set apart a certain, okay, now I'm going to pray, or when you're mentally doing these things, but it seems that it's a deeper thing, that the Holy Spirit is in continual communication with the Father concerning our what's going on in our lives. That's what it seems to be, yeah. So, but yet Paul, and a lot of times prayer is misunderstood to think it's so that God will know what we want. It's actually changing us. And it's the way that we change ourselves is through prayer. And we are molded more to God's will when we pray, not God molding to our will. Most people see it as trying to mold God to conform to what they want. But it's really not that at all. It's really God molding us so that we have the right attitude and we'll be in tune with Him. Now, Colossians is actually, and I mentioned this just a little earlier, that there's a minor theme going through it. It's not the major theme, but it's minor, and it talks about God's blessings and our expected response and about our relationship with other believers and our relationship with God. And so if we take a look at Colossians 1, and there's Paul starts out, and it's very rich. There's a lot of stuff going on here. These are things that we could take several weeks and discuss, and I'm trying to summarize them in a short period of time. And then just starting with verse 3, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as in all the world also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also, since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you heard it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all prayer according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now I want to point out something. It's just by, on reading it, you can kind of pass through it, and there's a lot of words and a lot of thoughts going on there, and so it helps sometimes to outline where things are. And you'll notice, starting with verse 3, it starts out with giving thanks to the Father. And so it starts out right away about giving thanks, but you may not have noticed, but also in verse 12, what does it end with? Giving thanks to the Father. Which is interesting, because now we have kind of a, when you're outlining things, there's several ways to outline, and I'm not that good of an outliner always, but if you start looking in Scripture, there's a lot of different types of outlines that you can find and things that are going on here. Now, you'll see that we have almost kind of a parentheses, and everything in the middle of here is about giving thanks to the Father. And so it's all interrelated. And these are these little things that are in Scripture that are just fun to dig out and try to find Because there's a lot of these kind of things in here, and a lot in Paul's writings, that you start looking for these things, things that pop out, sometimes it helps to outline it. Now, the center of this is actually Epaphras is thrown in. In verse 5b. And we see Epaphras, who has actually is probably held out as an example of someone who is very, has been a help to them. And that's what it indicates here. Let me just read what he says here. And it says, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. He also informed us of your love for the Spirit. So he was involved with this, with the Colossians, and he's held out as an example of one who it makes sense that he is in the middle of all this, because he's their example of how to react to the Lord. Then we get into verses 4 and 5. We see that Paul says, since we heard of your faith in Christ, the love which you have for all the saints, and the hope laid up for you in heaven. Now, does anything stand out there? Faith, hope, and love. Interesting. And it's the faith in what?
Jesus Christ.
Okay. Hope in what? Or let's do faith, love. Saints and faith, hope, and then and hope of salvation, yeah, or actually of heaven. So we have this trinity here of faith, hope, and love, which shows up in a lot of Paul's writings. And so when you see these things, it should be kind of a, something should snap in your mind and say, oh, that, so am I mixing metaphors? And so we have this faith, hope, and love. Now, the interesting thing is, if you go down, there's another set of three things that Paul talks about, and these aren't quite as easy to pull out. But he talks about in verse 11, I believe it is, for the attaining of all steadfastness, and the patience, and the last one is actually joy. Now, I think you can relate these to your steadfastness of Christ, your patience with the saints, and your joy because of heaven. They seem to be interrelated here. Now, we also have, in 5b, we have another point that Paul is making, and it says, of which you previously heard the word of truth, the gospel, and it's because of the gospel. And, of course, then we read a little further, and from the gospel we have, and this gets a little longer, in verses 9 and 10, talks about the knowledge so you will walk in a worthy manner. And the gospel related to Scripture, the knowledge. So we have this outline that's formed by Paul, and everything is related to thankfulness. So you have your faith. He talks about the faith, the love, and the hope. Then he talks about the gospel. He talks about Epaphras. Now these actually kind of relate. So the gospel, which was preached to them, the word, the scripture, God's word, relates to their walk. They were saved, and now they have the walk that they need to follow. Their faith, love, and hope all relate then to their steadfastness, patience, and joy. And, of course, giving thanks to the Father all relates to what this is all done in light of. So their thanks relate to many things. There's a lot of things going on here, but it's all related to God's Word, to the Scripture, to their faith in hearing the gospel, in their walk, and in the outcome of that, their steadfastness, patience, and joy. All these things Paul was looking at and giving thanks to the Father for these things. So it's kind of interesting when you start taking and breaking it down and taking a look at the Scripture and how it relates. It gets a little complicated. This is one of the more complicated ones that Paul would do. And but yet it just helps you to understand how he's pulling things together, and it also should hopefully help us to see that these things that we're thankful for the Father all relate to what God has already done for them. It's God's work in them through his word, working through Epaphras, working through Paul, and seeing them growing then in the Lord. And so obviously that thanks goes back to the Lord for his work in the Colossians. Now, as we keep going and going into Colossians 3:12, which I read a little earlier, some of it. In Colossians 3:12 through 17, let me read this. So as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should he. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving, thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Now, a lot of this is our relationship with other believers. And Paul says we need to have a heart of thankfulness with each other. And it's things that we should demonstrate, this heart of thankfulness, as we're with each other. And obviously, if Paul had to tell them to do it, it's not a natural thing for us to do. It's something that we normally don't do. We could actually... Okay, if we were to outline this, now that we have some outlining skills, this won't be quite as bad, I don't think. It talks about bearing with each other. And that kind of means tolerate. We are to tolerate each other, but it gets...
You look at me like...
Because I wanted to look away from Bonnie. I was looking at you and talking to her. No, just kidding. Forgiving each other, and then loving each other. Now you notice that we seem to be going up notches here, don't we? And Paul starts it out as, all right, we need to bear with each other. We need to just get along with each other. Just do what you can to get along. But then he goes on, forgiving each other. So there are probably things in the church that there was contention going on between the members. And Paul is telling them, well, that's not really the right way to go. You not only need to bear with each other, but you need to forgive each other. You need to forgive each other. Put these things aside. Not only that, you need to love each other. Now, it's interesting. He doesn't tell you you have to like each other. So it's... which is, there's a big difference. Love is doing the best for that person. It's making, giving them what they need. Sometimes it hurts. Liking is a whole different thing. Now, even Jesus had his favorites, didn't he? He liked some apostles, some disciples, over others. But yet he loved them all.
If you like somebody, though, you're going to love them. It's easy.
Well, but the love comes from doing what's best for that person, and that's what Jesus, even with Judas, did what was best for him. But on a human-to-human relationship, they weren't probably best of friends, Judas had other ulterior motives. But yet, from a godly standpoint, Jesus loved Judas, and that's because Jesus wanted the best for Judas. But as we go on here in verse 16, then it talks about being filled with God's word to teach and admonish. And it's on two things, teaching and admonishing. And so again, it relates to people with who you are dealing with, that you need to forgive them, and so that you are able to teach and admonish them. I mean, if you don't have a good relationship with someone, you're not going to be able to teach and admonish. And it ends up then, the last one in verse 17, giving thanks to the Father.
Is the teaching and admonishing for brothers in Christ and brothers in Christ?
These are two believers, and so it would be a believer to a believer who is trying to encourage each other to live a life that is proper. And so this is a kind of a basic outline that perhaps gives a little bit of insight. There's a thanks here of just overflowing. And I think there's the thanks here that is related to perhaps each other. But there's also then in verse 17 talks about giving thanks to the Father. And so overall, giving thanks to the Father, I think, would cover everything that Paul is talking about here. So we have not only it's Paul's telling us how to get along with other people, but then going on here, and so that I don't know if there's a direct relationship between this bearing and fulfill and thanks and forgiving and being filled. But if you take a look at the bearing, the forgiving, the loving is what's key to all these things. Love is the center of this outline, if you will, and Paul put it in the center for a reason, because it has to surround everything. When we're bearing with people, we need to do it lovingly. We do it because we do love. We forgive because we love. We're filled with God's word. We teach and admonish people because we love, and we give thanks to others because we love, and ultimately give thanks to the Father because we love. Not only love the saints, but love the Father. And so we have Colossians filling out this idea here about how we have to love not only those around us, and it should be and give thanks to the Lord and to those who are around us. And so that whole idea of thanksgiving should permeate our lives, not just to the Father, but it permeates our lives so that we're also giving thanks to each other, and we're looking out for each other, and we're praising each other when it's appropriate. And so that thankfulness shouldn't just be something between you and God. It should be something between you and each other and other believers. And the last thing we'll talk about here is in Colossians 4:2. Actually, 2 through 4. And it says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert with an attitude of thanksgiving. Now here's that connection where Paul gives that attitude of thanksgiving along with prayer. This has to do with our relationship with the Father, for us praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison, and that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Now Paul here, you notice, is giving a request for them to pray, to not only devote themselves to prayer. And that word devote is an interesting word. It's struggling, it's striving, it's work. Paul isn't just saying, well, give some time to pray. He's saying struggle with it. It's something that is very hard to do. Many of us, I'm guessing, I maybe judge by myself, you don't think of prayer. You don't think of going to God. You don't think of that continual prayer, that constant communication, because you get sucked up into other things. Your mind is pulled away from God in many ways, in many innocent ways. And so that's one thing that we need to, I think, Paul admonishes us to do, is to be able to have that continual prayer, to strive to pray, to work at your prayer. And it's something that the problem is people go too far sometimes. And have you heard people talking about the saint, the church father, or whatever, who spends hours and hours in prayer? Well, if you spent your life in praying, in other words, you're talking to God, how's God going to talk to you? He can't, because he talks in his word. And if you're not into His Word, you're not going to be able to understand what He's trying to say to you because you're too busy talking. And so you have to be careful that you have a balance in your life. Now, people who say, I pray to God and then God spoke to me, red flags all over the place, I tell you, watch out, because they are saying, I've got some extra biblical communication from God. He's telling me some special things that He's not telling you, but He's told me. And right away you know that they're either lying or deceived. And they did not get communication from God. Now, God can speak to us through His Word. And that's how the Holy Spirit in us, as we look through His Word and we understand that, God can certainly speak to us. And that speaking to us is not verbal, but it's an impression that He leaves with us. And it's helping us to understand what He's saying to us. And so hopefully maybe I've kind of overthought things here. I don't know. But if you can walk away with at least one thought through this and see as you read Scripture that there are many things in here where God, that Paul is admonishing us to, by God and the Holy Spirit, to have that attitude of thanksgiving, that it's something that is a very important in our life, to be able to be with God and to talk with God and to give Him the thanksgiving that is due Him. And if you don't get into His Word, you're not going to know what to thank Him for. Most people would say, I can thank Him for what happens to me. But you need to thank Him for what He has done for us, and we only find out about that in His Word. So you need to get into Scripture. And as you read Scripture, that should lead you to this thanksgiving. Your heart should be overflowing in thanksgiving for all the things that the Lord has done for us. And so as we sit around the table, you know, and somebody will say, well, what are you thankful for? And it's always the same old thing. You know, it's like, well, I'm thankful for God and my salvation and my wife. And then the turkey.
Well, I'm
going to
whip out this chart.
Whip out the chart. You can show them this, and they'll never ask you again at Thanksgiving. They'll be sorry.
Verse 5 and 6 is in Paul switching to unbelievers.
Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders. Yes, those would be people who are watching them from the outside, not as unbelievers. Making the most of the opportunity. Now, that making the most of the opportunity is looking for opportunities to be a witness and a testimony, I believe, to those who are unsaved. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt. Now, when you season something with salt, it tastes good. So what you're doing is presenting the gospel in a tasty morsel, something that they would want to grab a hold of, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. You're sensitive to their needs, but yes, absolutely, he's looking on the outside there. So this whole idea of thanks, just keep that in mind. It's something that the Lord desires. It's something that we can only do as believers, truly do give thanks to the Lord.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time when we set aside a special time to thanks of thanksgiving. And so often the thanks has to do with things that are being done to us, things that are surrounding us, having a job, having food on the table, and all these things. But that's really part of thanksgiving. It really should reflect on you as our Lord and Savior. We should just fall to our knees in thanksgiving for what you've done for us. We should really understand that this thanksgiving that we do is something that comes from the Holy Spirit. And that as believers that we should give that thanksgiving and give it continuously and be part of our prayer in not just on Thanksgiving, but every day of the week. And we pray, Lord, that you'll just lead us to that ability to pray properly, to be able to praise you properly. And we pray, Lord, that as we grow in you, that we hope that that'll become even easier.
Just pray that you'll just be at the forefront of our every word and every deed. If any of us are traveling, we pray that you'll just keep us safe. We pray that we might have a good Thanksgiving. In Christ's name, amen.